Testing 1, 2, 3. Is an interview for the Brickmakers Oral History Project at the Museum LA. The date is September 24th, 2007. Today we're interviewing Henry Gilbert at his home in Lewiston, Maine, and this is Andrea Lungia. Could you start just by telling me where and when you were born?
I was born in 1925, November 1925.
In this area?
This area. I was born on the corner of Walnut and Pierce Street.
And did you grow up there?
I grew up right next door here from my place.
Oh.
We moved here when I was 4 years old. Yeah, and I've been here ever since, except for the time I was in the service.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And now, how many kids were there in your family?
There was, Jackie, myself, Clement, and Wilfred. Both of my brothers have passed away.
Mm. And your parents, what did they do for work?
My mom was just a housewife.
Yep.
And my father worked in the woolen mill, in the Cowan Mill.
Okay, so he was a mill worker.
He was a mill worker.
Yeah.
And I hated the inside work completely. That's why I always stayed outside.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I worked in the brickyard, I worked in the woods, and then I started construction. And I've been at it ever since.
Yeah.
And I hate to quit.
That's why you keep going.
That's why I keep going.
And your parents, were they born here or were they from Canada?
My mother, I believe, was born in Brunswick. My father was born in Lewiston.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he might have been born on Pierce Street,
mm-hmm.
where my grandfather and grandmother lived.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, how did you get interested in the brick making? Did you know somebody or?
Not really. I thought I'd give it a try because apparently the money was better than working in a mill, which mm-hmm. I didn't like to work in a mill anyways. So that's how I started in the brickyard. And I started as a striker right off.
Wow. And what year was that?
That was 1947.
And you were how old?
I was, probably 28, 29, something like that.
Yeah.
After the service.
After you went into the
yeah.
service. Yeah. Now, what branch of the service
were
you in?
I was in the Marine Corps.
Yeah. During World War II?
During World War II. I was in the South Pacific.
Wow.
Yeah. We made the landing on Iwo Jima. I don't know if you've heard of the place, but... That's where my division landed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. And then you came back and you started as a striker right away.
I started as a striker and then in the wintertime I'd go in the woods, worked in the woods.
Okay.
I'd buy wood lots or work for somebody else in the, you know, as a lumberjack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what were your days like as a striker? How long were they in?
We started about 6 o'clock in the morning and we used to strike 10,000 bricks. It was a three-man crew, and one was in the pit shoveling the mud and sand in the big mixing machine,
yeah.
and there was two people in the front striking the bricks out, carrying them down the yard on a cart. There was five moles in each cart, and then the two of them would keep that up until the 1,000 brick was out. Then the guy that was in the pit. We'd go up front, and the other guy that was up front, we'd go in the pit, start shoveling, just to change the routine, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And in my crew, usually we strike 12,000 bricks, because we enjoyed the money.
So you got paid extra if you got more?
Well, it was all piecework.
Oh, okay.
It was all piecework. I'm trying to remember what it was now, but...
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was $7 a thousand or something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly what it was, because that goes back about 60 years.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you had a pretty good team going.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have that same team for quite a while? Did
I had it for 2 years, three years, I think. I made bricks, by the way, with a guy by the name of Willie Baker, which was Harvey de Grosselier's uncle.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought I'd throw that in.
Yeah, that's great.
Right, right.
Wow. So what, can you talk about the process of brick making?
Well, say that the pit is empty now. We've struck out the 10,000 bricks, mm-hmm. which was mud. Usually the process is three shovels full of mud with one shovel full of sand. Then there's a big mixer that mixes all that. The mixer's probably half the size of this room here, you know. And at night, after you've struck out, that means your pit's empty. So then they come in with a tractor and clay. They bring it on this ramp, and in the afternoon we shovel that clay in the pit with water running in it, so it'll form mud, and we fill that pit up. It's usually good for another 10,000 bricks, which will be struck the next day, and that's a process of and it's usually three or four shovel full of mud with one shovel full of sand. And that goes on till about 2 o'clock. That's when we finish striking the bricks. And then the bricks that were struck the day before, 2 days before, we have what we call an edger, which is you put it in between the bricks, it's already on the ground, and you pull on that edger, and it brings the bricks sideways. And that way you can pick them up. And you put them on planks. You stack them up probably about 4 feet high, and they'll dry there for probably a week. And then they're ready to be wheeled into the kiln where they will be burnt. The kiln will hold anywhere from 500,000 to even 1 million bricks.
Oh.
Because they're stacked way up, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And the process of burning is quite something, too.
Yeah. Did you get to observe that?
Oh yeah, because I never burned because I was a striker.
Right.
Yeah, but of course you've seen the process of it, you know. Yeah, which there was holes in between every foot or two. There was a hole in the brick, and that hole went right straight through, and that's where they put the wood in to get the flames going, you know. Of course, now it's done by oil and everything. It's
right.
Different now.
But at that time, did they have to have somebody feeding wood 24 hours a day?
Yes, all the time.
Oh, so there were people there at night?
There was all people there 24 hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
At night there might have been, I don't know, maybe two or three guys, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when the bricks were wheeled in, we had these special wheelbarrows that you put 100 bricks on them. And actually the wheelbarrow, the thing weighed probably 400 or 500 pounds. But it was so easy the way it was balanced, how to handle it, you know.
Yeah.
You brought it up to the kiln, and there was a guy there. You would throw the bricks up four at a time, and the guy would grab them and stack them. And they'd go up probably 12, 15 feet high. And that kiln would be probably half the size of this house here.
Oh.
Yeah, when they'd burn it. And it would probably take... I'm going to guess this again, but probably 10 to 12 days for burning.
Mm.
The way the chief burner would tell if the bricks were pretty well ready to stop the fires was he'd go up on the ladder and look into the top of the brick, and if it had settled so much, that would tell him that it was almost time to stop the burning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was an interesting process, you know.
Yeah. Now, at the Moran Brickyard, did you do water struck or wire struck?
No, water struck.
Water struck.
Water struck, yeah. That's the one that was on the yard.
Okay.
Yeah. The wire cut was not on the yard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we're the ones that was on the outside.
Yeah. Do you have any recollections of stories or things that happened while you were working in the brickyard that stuck in your memory?
Well, one time, the motor that was running the mixer was 440 volts, big, humongous motor. It was inside a small building, and there was a trap door where you went in to shut the machine off. Mm. So one day, I went in to shut the machine, went through the trap door to shut the machine off, and it had malfunctioned, had short-circuited, and it dragged me right in, and I hung on to that machine until I was able to pull myself out.
Oh.
And, you know, I had to go to the doctors. They gave me a couple of shots.
Oh, yeah.
That was kind of scary for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. 440 volts, and you're in the bathing suit, and you're in the water while you're.
Oh yeah.
So you know that it's stacked up against you quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know we made it. I get a few burns out of it, but that's it.
Yeah. And the people who ran the kill, did they have to be real? I mean, that was a very hot area. What did they do to protect themselves?
Well, not too much. Not too much. You don't have to. You can't stand too much in front of the kill opening, you know, the openings, because that's where a lot of the heat is.
Right.
And what they did in order to get the wood towards the middle of the kill, because them kills are big, like I said, they're probably the width of this house here. And they're way up, you know, probably 10, 12 feet, like I was saying. And they have long poles, and they push them, that wood, right inside the, so it'll go, and the opening is on both sides, on both ends. So you push from both ends to get the wood, and they used to burn the, Marvin Brick had a sawmill, by the way, and they used to burn all the slabs from the softwood. Yeah, that's how they got all their burnings done in them days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Now, of course, it's all oil, and it's a fast process now. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I interviewed Norm Davis.
Davis, no. See, that must have been after my time.
Probably. And he works there.
Yeah.
Now.
Was he a striker? Do you know?
No, I think he was more. Well, I think he did. He learned the whole process, and now he's management. But
I see. Okay. Yeah.
Now, are there any brick makers that you know of that you worked with that are still around?
None that I know of that's still alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they'd all be 80 or 82, 83. Yeah. So they'd be up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you worked at Morin, and then did you work at other
brickyards?
I worked
at Morin for 3 years, then I went to the Dennis Brickyard, which was off Washington Street.
Yeah.
You probably interviewed somebody that worked there, I'm not sure. And then we took over a yard in Yarmouth, three guys, and we done everything there. Yeah, and that yard was the Gagnon Brickyard. And I worked there for 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I believe I went back to Dennis Brickyard, and that was it.
Hmm.
Then I just stayed in the woods until I decided to go on construction.
Yeah. And you've been there ever since?
I've been on construction for about 36 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I hate to let go. Matter of fact, I don't intend to. What you call, you're going to die with your boots on.
Now, is there anything that I haven't asked you about brick making and sort of the whole thing that you think is important?
Well, the one thing, if you've struck at 10,000 bricks on the yard, and that night it should rain, it actually ruins the bricks.
Oh.
Yeah. It melts the corners of the bricks. And therefore, you can't sell them for first quality bricks. You can sell them for what they use for the inner brick, you know, when they have a two brick wall or something like that. You can use them for that.
Right.
And when you're striking, there's a young kid with a sander, and he sands the top of the bricks, and that's for so the bricks don't crack when the sun hits it. That protects the bricks temporarily, you know, until you pick them up.
I see.
Yeah.
Oh. And was it really hard to get the mixture correct? Did you lose a lot of bricks?
A lot of times, not a lot of times, but sometimes, either the mud is a little too hard or a little too soft. So when it's a little too soft, you add more, you shut the water down, you add more mud and sand. And if it's too hard, you add more water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the two guys in the front will tell you what the mixture is, but usually it always comes out pretty good, you know, because you're so used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Usually when you first start in the morning, you're on a piece of wood on top of the where you for the shoveling. You start shoveling from the top. By the time you get to the fourth or fifth thousand bricks that you've struck out, you're in the bottom of the pit. So all the mud's around you, see? But it makes it a lot easier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, because you're right on the wood floor of that pit, see? Yeah. Right. But then the hardest part is you have to pick up your mud and shoot it in the mixture. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hard work.
Oh, it is hard work. That's why a lot of strikers were hard to get in them days, you know? Yeah.
Well, great.
But the ones that was doing the striking were real good people, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're durable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
You're quite welcome, young lady.
We're going to add just a little bit more here.
Okay, look. There was a brickyard down in the bottom part of Bartlett Hill where the bus depot is now.
Mm-hmm.
There was a brickyard there.
Okay.
We made bricks there off and on, too.
Oh,
and
wow.
There was the La Chance brickyard. They were tied up with the Morin brickyard. Oh. They were related, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and you were also mentioned some of the bricks you were making for a certain time.
They were the Colby, what they call the Colby bricks. They were sent to Colby College when they made their additions.
And was it that they were made a little differently?
Well, some of them were rounded. You know, there was a special mold. They were rounded.
Okay.
Yeah. For when they made their corners, I guess, or whatever it was.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Okay. Sometimes when the mud was a little too hard, the corners of the mold of bricks wouldn't fill in. So what we do is you put your finger in the middle of the brick and press hard, and that would fill the corners. Then you'd pass your stick on it, and you'd have a new brick.
Right.
Nobody would know the difference.
Wow, that's great. I never heard that before.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who haven't.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done it off and on. Didn't have to do it too much, but
yeah.
But it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.